Now, I just want to explain about today. Okay, today is about stories. Today is about celebrating. Did any of you go to the parade in town for the All Blacks on Friday? Did anyone go to that? Yeah, a few of you. There was a fair bit of celebration around there, wasn't there? There was a lot of noise, there was shouting, there was cheering. Okay? And in a way, in my mind, I'd like our service to be a bit like that. You know, I know we're very cautious. We're Kiwi males. We're very, you know, and like the All Blacks, we're very humble in victory. And, you know, we have victory. We have victory in Christ, don't we? Yes, we do. Fantastic. Okay. I'm going to work through the awkwardness of waiting for responses. And I'm going to harden up and just wait. Okay, so I want you to think about today. I want you to be thinking about, we're going to be thinking about this church as a group of God's people and the journey we've been on till today. And I want you to be thinking about the journey you've been on, whether it's been here or elsewhere, whether it's been short or long with this community of believers. I want you to be thinking about that. And I'd really like it if some of you wanted to share about that, either a prayer of thanks, a story, a whatever. Along the way, I'm just going to shut up. Now, I know you believe that some of you, including my family, mostly my family, will think that's really hard for me to just shut up. But I'll try my hardest, because I want to be about all of us and our story collectively. Okay, so let's let loose, even though it's not maybe in our nature. But I want to start by just thinking about, they promised me it would work first time. It worked yesterday, they said. Up is on, it's up, press that button there. Victory! Okay. I just wanted to think about this statement, celebrating the past, living in the present, and confident of the future. Why live in the past? I don't know, have any of you been to old school reunions or perhaps church reunions or anything like that? The church I grew up in had one when I was a kid, and I thought, man, this is going to be the most boring event. Old people getting together and just talking about the past. What's the big deal about the past and living in the past and all of this sort of thing? But it was really exciting. Hearing about some of the things they did in the stories, it was really good. And as I've grown older, and you young people, you will grow old one day, and you will say, you might think this is boring looking back in the past, but I encourage you just really listen to these stories and see what's at work. You know, it's a biblical principle to do this. And I just want to share that principle with you. If you turn to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7. And the setting is in the nation of Israel. And they've been wandering around in the desert for 40 years. And they're about to go be led into the promised land. And God's giving them instructions. And one of the instructions is when you get in there, there are going to be these seven nations, and there's all these ites, you know, Hittites and Jebusites and all of those ites, and I want you to wipe them all out. This land is your land. I'm bringing you into this land. It's your land. I want you to wipe them out. And he's giving all these instructions to them about that. And then he gets in verse 17. And this is what he says. And it shows God knows us. He knows what we like. Because he says, perhaps you will think to yourselves, how can we ever conquer these nations that are so much more powerful than we are? He knew they would think that, and they did think that. And then he says, but don't be afraid of them. Just remember what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and to all the land of Egypt. Remember the great terrors the Lord your God sent against them. You saw it all with your own eyes. and remember the miraculous signs and wonders and the strong hand and powerful arm with which he brought you out of Egypt. The Lord your God will use the same power against all the people you fear. And then the Lord your God will send terror and drive out the few survivors still hiding from you. So isn't that amazing? God said, I know it's going to be hard. When you go into this land I've promised you, I know you're going to be fearful. You were fearful 40 years ago and you let fear lead to sin, which led to you not going into the promised land. But this time, when you go in, this is what I want you to do. I want you to think back. I want you to think back to what happened in Egypt. How I showed my power, the plagues, all these stories. Now remember, these people here that were going in, all of them had been under the age of 20 because they wandered the desert for 40 years as punishment for not going in the first time when God told them to go into the promised land. So these people, they might have been kids, they might not have even been born, but they knew the stories of the past. They had been repeated to them down through their family history. Why were they repeated down through their family history? Because God wanted them to know who he was, how powerful he was, so that when they came and faced giants themselves, they wouldn't do what their fathers did. They would do what God wanted them to do. Take that land in his strength and his power. You know, it's the same for us today. It is exactly the same for us today. God wants us to look back and see him at work. We have a faithful God. We have a God who does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. No matter what giant we may be facing in our lives ahead, he wants us to look back and remember the giants we've faced in the past and to remember what he did. What he did. We come to celebrate what God has done. It's not about us. It's not about our own strength. We can't do anything in our own strength. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. We can't make ourselves acceptable to God. We cannot work up to God. We cannot do anything like that. It is because of what Christ has done for us that we are here today as a group of people. And so I want us to remember that principle. And we're going to tell our story again. I know I've told stories before that I'm going to tell today. I know that if you've been through the newcomers, you will have heard these stories. But you know, they are so exciting. Not because of living in the past, but because that same God that did that is the God that we believe is leading us into the future and has even more planned for us as a group of people and as individuals going forward. Amen? Amen. Amen. Good. Okay, so let's start by singing, Great is Your Faithfulness. Now, this is not the one it's not the old Great is Your Faithfulness, this is a new Great is Your Faithfulness. But his faithfulness is still the same, okay? But we're just going to stand and sing this. Thanks, guys. Okay, so let's just take a little bit of time to think of our journey over the last few years, right from the beginning, okay? So this church was started as a house church in Plymouthen. Back in the 40s and 50s, they met and they had a building. They did a building project and they had a building in Acheron Road. And then in about 1994-ish, I don't remember the exact date, we had a church meeting very similar to this, except probably just this block of people. So similar but not. There was a small church meeting. And in those days, we used overheads, not PowerPoints. We had overheads. And we have gone through the annals of history and recovered the overheads from that meeting. Let me read to you from that meeting the agenda. Background. The proposed section. A site plan and video. Video's very modern and new there. It was cool technology. It took a big handy cam to do it. What is possible? Our financial situation. questions, wrap up, and then tea, exclamation mark. Okay, that was obviously the most important and exciting part of the meeting, as any good church meeting is followed by tea. Okay, so we had this agenda, and we went through it, and I just wanted to go through some of it very quickly through the agenda. And we talked about how this section came to be. And there was a four-week window, basically, where all the petrol companies had rejected this site from the Whitby Consortium, and it became available. Alistair was talking to the developer one day and said, that'd be a good site for a church. He said, funny you should say that. No one wants it for a petrol station. We had a meeting, grabbed the rights to it. 4 weeks later, a petrol company comes along and says, we've changed our mind, and they said, too bad, lost your opportunity. It was a God moment. This here was the outskirts of Whitby. So we talked about what was planned. There was going to be another 500 or 5,000, whatever sections back here, a huge number of sections were going to be built. This was the outskirts of Whitby at that time. And we talked through, the elders talked through why they believed it was such an important opportunity. Why the site we were on wasn't going to allow for growth. How the activities and ministries we were growing into with youth and with Sunday school, there was no room for them there. Most of the kids came from this area. We were transporting them over and there wasn't facilities there. So there was a good catchment area here. There was nothing for youth in our community at all. And so we talked about what the concept might be, building a gym down there first, something that would be useful for the church community, for the public community as a facility. At the time, there was a very high youth suicide rate. It was a real problem in our area. And there were no facilities for youth at all. And that's what one of the key things that drove us to build a gym first before an auditorium. And we talked about the financial. You know, we had set aside the princely sum, these people before us, and had saved $8,781. Now, for a church that ended up, got to a low point of five people, that was a lot of money. They were very faithful in saving. We had an extra $3,663 in the bank. And so we had total cash available of $12,444. I remember it vividly. The section was going to cost $90,000. We needed a $10,000 deposit. We had the deposit, praise God. The building, section one, might cost about $125,000. We thought if we could sell the Acheron Road for $100,000, we'd be left with a debt of about $105,000. And we did this fancy calculation on what we had to pay in interest only and on a 10-year mortgage and what we were giving to missionaries and what our outgoings were. And we left with $87 a week to pay the mortgage. Man, I wish it only cost $87 a week now to pay the mortgage, eh? So then we looked at it, and we looked at what our weekly giving was, and we came to a shortfall of $279 a week. And we said, let's assume there's 10 families. We counted up, and there were 10 families amongst us. And we said, right, we rounded it up, and said that's $28 a family a week if we want to move into this place here. And we did. And the rest, as they say, is history. Because over the next couple of years, we did move in here. We built and we had a mortgage. And a few years ago, we celebrated that mortgage being paid off. So God has certainly provided us down through there. Now, one of the people at that meeting and who had been at the church for quite a little while by this time were the Eves family. And I just asked Alistair if he'd come up. I've got a couple of questions for Alistair to share with us. So, Alistair, you came here in about 1988, and you came with... Shana was born, she was a baby, so you had four kids.
Yep, four kids. Shana was 6 weeks old.
And you came and you built a house in the outskirts of Whitby up James Cook Drive?
No, the first house we bought a house with three bedrooms, which didn't suit, and had to extend that one to put another bedroom on.
Right, so you moved into this area?
Yep.
And so tell me, why did you come to this church that had very few people at it? And you've got four children... why'd you come and stay at this church then?
It was a bit of a quandary, because we'd come from a church in Tauranga of 300 plus with a big Sunday school and rally work and so on. And we went and looked at other churches. We saw this one at Akron Road advertised in the paper, and rang the people up and says, "Oh, do you have a Sunday school?" And they said, "Oh, no, we don't, but we're thinking of starting one." I said, "Oh, thanks a lot," and hung up. It didn't take too long for the phone at the motel to ring again, and strange, why you should be ringing us. And the people we had rung, and actually, because I'd mentioned that we'd sort of just come into the area from Tauranga, so they'd rung around the motels in Porirua, just they had someone staying from Tauranga. And they found us that way, and then invited us to, if you come to church on Sunday, you'd like to come home for lunch. Wow. We went to this church, and as I say, hour six going to the church doubled the numbers, and it was. But the church had so much love. That was the thing that drew us to that place. We went off and visited the other churches in the local area, but we said to the children, "Which one do you want to go to?" And they said, "We want to go back that first one we went to." And some of the people at that church, young David Lemon at the back there, he was there, and with his mum and dad and sister. And so there weren't a lot of people there, but that's why we wanted to go back, because it was a church full of love.
Cool. Hey, so as we come forward and think about the building project, you led us through that building project. 10 families. We talked at numbers, and some of them like me who couldn't hold a hammer. So you faced some huge giants in this site here and that. What are some of those, or what was one of those giants, and how did you see God at work in that?
We did have a lot of challenges when we started. The biggest challenge, I guess, was taking the people of the church with us and take them out of their comfort zone. And some decided at the time that we had the meeting saying what we're going to do, they decided, hey, this is too big for us. We don't want to leave the familiar. And they decided not to come. We had confidence that we could do it. Well, I did. I had the confidence that we could do it. And I had the contacts and so on from a business point of view to help as well. I've got a civil engineering background, and always been involved in building houses and so on, I saw this as not a biggie. The plans, when you get a set of house plans and so on, you look at them and say, gee, how can we build that? But as the old saying goes, how do you eat an elephant? Well, just one bite at a time. And so with this, what you do, you start off just doing the little bits, and that's what we did. The contacts and so on, I've got to tell you that the contacts we had that I had at the time, one of them was a company in Cavity Roadmakers, and we had the site here, and it didn't look like it looks at the moment. It had some big pine trees on it and flattened out. It was a quarry site, and so we had to level it out. We didn't have a lot of money, as Bruce pointed out. A lot of it was just done pretty miserly. But this guy loaned us the gear, and he had some guys come down and work on site here with diggers and trucks, and loaned us little bulldozers and rollers and so on to work it ourselves. And this is what we did. And I asked John afterwards. I says, "Why did you do this?" And he says, "Well, I was a rally boy in Otaki, and it's time for payback." One of those God moments. But so they were just some of the little things that we did, and it was a challenge. The guys, as Bruce said, came here, held a hammer in the wrong hand, and this sort of thing. But we got through, and And, you know, no real injuries, no hazards on site. It's sort of that the only thing, I fell out in the foyer at once and put a big bruise on my backside, but that was about it.
So we worked every Saturday for what, 2 years?
For 2 years. We worked every Saturday for 2 years, and the weather was a big problem for us. You know, just but we needn't have worried because it never rained here on the site on a Saturday for that time. We could see the rain come around the back of us, go across the golf course, but while we were working here, we didn't, we weren't stopped by the rain. So that again was another God moment that we felt was led us to carry on with what we're doing. Certainly was a real great time. When the when we got a bit tired at the end of it, putting up the jib board and that sort of stuff, we had an outfit called MMM. Come and they came for a couple of weeks and stayed here locally, and they worked, you know, the whole team of them, plus they got supplemented by other folk from the Tara Assembly and some from over in the hut area. They came over and they finished off the building by, you know, putting up the jib board and doing all the stopping and installing that sort of stuff, and it was That was a great help, just amazing help with those that team of people came in and did that. We didn't have the ceiling in the gym like you see at the moment. That was put in later. And when it rained down there, when we had any service, it was just terrible.
Thanks, Alistair. That's great. Certainly, there's so many things during that time we saw God provide and God faithful, and it was really good.
Yeah.
Thank you. So, as we look back over the years, right from the beginning of the church, starting in a home in Plymouth, we see that our DNA was to teach, to restore, to build, and to release people to serve the Lord. And as we look back over the time, we can see that in a numerous examples down through the years. The thing that really drove us was that, I guess, and drove the people that founded the church here, is we believe in something better. We believe that the gospel restores and brings freedom to people's lives. That's what drove them right at the beginning back in the 1940s, Mr. Reddit, and the group that met, and when they built at Akron Road, and then moving here into this community, was believing that that gospel message brings restoration and it brings freedom. And really, I guess, I know. That's what drove everything. As we got to recent years, I guess when things like mission statements and vision statements became all the rage, we as a church looked and said, that's our DNA. How do we put that into a vision statement? And we put that into our mission statement here, which hopefully you're all familiar with, and if you're new today, you'll hear it going forward. Which was together transforming people into devoted, passionate ambassadors for Christ. We looked at Matthew 28, the Great Commission. Go out into all nations and make disciples, baptizing them, teaching them, training them, releasing them for service. That's what it was all about. That's what it's still about. And so in a way, this is just codifying, for want of a better word, what our DNA is, what we have been down through the years. We are a group of people who are wanting to be transformed, to transform other people, to be devoted, passionate ambassadors for Christ. Because we really believe that is the message of the gospel. We believe what Jesus Christ said and who he was. And we're going to sing that now as we sing the creed. Just stay standing for a minute. We believe in Jesus. We believe in the Holy Spirit. We believe that He died and rose again for our sins. Let's just give thanks. If any of you would like to just pray and give thanks for what God has done for us in Jesus Christ, let's do that now. If you just want to pause and just think about what God's done in your life through Christ, just take a time to reflect on that. Father, we just thank You that no matter what we face, we know we have You on our side. You go before, You prepare the way. You know what lies ahead. You have been with us on our journey past, and we thank You that You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. We give You praise and we give You thanks for who You are, what You have done and what You are doing and what You will do. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, guys. So as we think about our mission statement, our vision, I guess the question is, what is our response? And we have responded down through the years in many ways. And as we look at those responses, we really, I guess, think about a framework. We've put them into a framework to help us sort of fit them in, to see where things are missing, to be able to work on, to build. And we've built this framework, or put it into a framework that we've called stepping in, stepping up, and stepping out. And we're just going to take time to look at that and see the various, think about the things we have done in these various segments here, and to tell some stories. As we look at that, each of these have a very personal part. In our own spiritual journeys, there is a stepping in, there's a stepping up, and there's a stepping out. And as a church, there is a role for the church collectively in the stepping in, the stepping up, and the stepping out. So we're going to look at it, and sometimes we'll be talking from the personal, and sometimes we'll be talking from the collective. And that's cool. So, stepping in. Each of us came to a point in our journey, whether it was here or somewhere else, where confident faith in what Christ did and what we believe, what we've just been singing about, came and it replaced fear and uncertainty in our life. No matter what point in your journey you are, there is a point that because of God's grace, we have to come to that point in faith and recognize who God is and what he's done. If you haven't, I'd urge you, if you're seeking, talk to someone here and find out. But if you have, don't forget, that's a precious time. That's a foundational time in your spiritual journey. Remember it. Celebrate it. Okay? For some of us, 42 years ago, quite a while ago, as a kid, maybe it's recent. Doesn't matter. We're part of God's family and we can celebrate that. Okay. So then, as we grow in, it's about coming together as God's people. It's about being committed to attending. Why? Not just for the sake of it, but so that we can grow together, we can learn together, we can encourage one another together, we can pray together, we can have hospitality together. Not just morning tea here, not just lunches perhaps at your own home, but it's about getting up across the room and walking across the room and meeting somebody new. It's about things like we did the last two nights, the mystery dinners, getting to meet people you haven't met before and having time with them. More than just a hello, a conversation over a cup of tea or coffee or a biscuit. A meaningful time to get to know somebody else and for them to have input in your life. That's an essential part of stepping in, both from an individual, letting yourself, opening yourself up in your journey to other people who are on that same journey, and us collectively as a church providing the opportunities for people to do that in a safe environment. Now, as we think about this, can I give you a plug? Next Sunday morning, at lunchtime, straight after church, we have an ideal opportunity for you to do this. We're having a church picnic, okay? There will not be morning tea after church. There will be a whole picnic after church. Yay! Okay, so we're going to the park, just this park right here, Endeavour. You can't see it if you're new around here, but there's a park right behind that corner there. We're going to go there. It's a BYO picnic. Bring your own food. Bring your own rugs. Bring your own fun attitude. Bring whatever. And we're going to go to the park and we're going to have fun time together. Time to sit and just be able to share and talk and meet each other and find out where we are in life. What's happening for you right here and now. So, no morning tea. We want you to go straight after church to the park and have some fun together. Because this is an important part for us and for people coming in and joining us, providing the environment where it's safe for them to step in. Stepping in involves commitment, involves giving and supporting one another, supporting the church. It involves becoming part of a small group. Foundational, we've got these foundational courses you've heard us talk about, Christianity Explored, Discipleship Explored. These are opportunities to come in, step in and find out more about this Christian journey. And so as a church, we have the opportunity to work in those and help people, come alongside people and work through that. Basically, it's about fulfilling the Great Commission. It's about helping people understand who Christ is and what he has done. And how that and that has not changed down through the years. It's about inviting people. It's about inviting our friends, finding a way to connect with people in our community. Whether we do that collectively as a group of people or we do it individually in our neighbourhoods and our workplaces. It's about encouraging people. It's about showing genuine love to them. Because, you know, we've had such amazing love shown to us. We're going to... Have we got time to... How long does this... Should we cut this one out? I'm thinking Amazing Grace. Is this one of the ones that was... We might just cut this out. I think I'd rather... You know what? I had down here we'd sing Amazing Grace. Again, another newer version of Amazing Grace. But you know what I'd love to hear? I'd love to hear if you've got a testimony of God's grace in your life, what he's done. Sharing that. If you want to, let's just take a moment and think about the grace God's shown you. And if you want to share that, that'd be great. If you don't, I don't want to, no pressure to do that. But I do want you to think about that stepping in and about the grace God's shown you in your journey. Okay? Said I'd sit here and wouldn't feel awkward, and I don't. I hope you are thinking. Thank you, please.
Hi everyone, I'm Rachel. I've been at the Anchor about 10 years, and this stepping in was a big part for me. I'd come back from a year in Australia, but prior to that I had been part of a church that had caused quite a bit of pain in my family, and I was in my 20s, and I believed in God, but I was quite hurt, and I was quite hurt by the church, and I was quite apathetic about it. So when we came back, Luke and I were together, and we were looking for a new church in the area, and we came here, and I could have taken or leaving it for a couple of years, but Luke was pretty committed to coming, and so I came along. I was also a nurse, so I was doing shift work, and I really feel like this church was God's arms, and that love that has been talked about a lot. God let me sit in the pews for a couple of years and be her and be loved. And then I was asked, actually I went to Parachute with the Inca Youth. Luke was involved with it, and I kind of went along as the wife. And there were some key messages at that Parachute talking about, you know, don't get stuck in the pending tray. Don't just sit there. And, you know, there will come a time where you need to take that step forward. And about the next week, I was asked if I wanted to be involved with the leading of the Sunday school here. And I felt, that's it. I've got to do this. I've got to get involved now. And I really credit a lot of the healing in my faith to being part of this church, and kind of God letting me take time and then taking that step to get involved. And yep, then we were asked to be part of a youth a small group, and that's probably been one of the most meaningful things I've had the privilege of being part of. So.
Thank you so much, Rachel. Thank you. Yeah, no, that's cool. It's really cool. Thank you. Gabby, do you want to shout from there in your big voice, or do you want to?
Oh, well, I've been here in New Zealand 38 years. And when I left, Bob and I got married in Fiji. And before, the night before we're leaving Fiji, the chap, he's gone to heaven now. He gave me the verse of Joshua 1 and said, be strong and of good courage. And then, and somebody else said, you're leaving this country and going to another place. And I knew a lot of people from New Zealand that came in and out from my house, where my mother invited them for dinner, lunch, and said, we're going to be a pilgrim, strangers and pilgrims. But when I came to the New Zealand, I wasn't stranger to anybody, because I had God's family. Okay, coming on the cold winter from warm summer and leaving the aircraft, and I had a cold sore from top to bottom, and going to somebody else's place where I didn't know anybody. But they were very kind to me. They were Christian, they loved the Lord. Okay. Leave Auckland, came to Wellington, stayed in Otauni, and Porua Chapel offered Bob and I a Porua Chapel house. That's how I ended up in Porua. And he, Bob, was working for Bible Society. So we were in, the welcome was in Porua. And we, Bob and I, were in Porua for a few years. Then, cut the story short, that there was some problem, but I got so sick of it, and I said to Bob, you want to go, you go there. I'm going to Eklund Road with Rebecca. So, Bob and I did. As we entered the door of the Eklund Road, that was Alistair Eve and Linda gave us a good welcome. And I knew Bruce from Tower Chapel. I met, saw him when he was 9 years old. Sorry, Bruce.
Long time ago.
That was a long time ago. Anyway, so we stayed in Eklund Road. Rebecca was baptized there. Made a lot of friends, and I was welcome. And I saw this chapel built. And this chapel, anchor means a lot to me. We went up and down in our life. When Bob was sick, you guys were there for me. Because what the love have you guys have shown me until now, I'm so thankful. When Bob was told that he had leukemia, when the night he was put into a machine, my whole house group were there, and some of the chapel folks were there. We had a fun, we had talked, it was so great. The love that God has given and that no one can give.
Indeed.
And when Bob, the day Bob died, the morning my house was full with you guys. Some of you were there who showed their love. And the three policemen there, and there was a ambulance staff was there. They turned around and said to me, you got wonderful support. Yes. Support that God's love flows down to each one of us. And I do thank you for what you have done for me.
Thanks,
and
Kelly.
I won't ever leave this.
Thank you, Kelly. Okay. That's a really good bridge, thank you, Carby. And to the next is stepping up. What's the stepping up about? It is about the fact that we are the bridges into the heart of people who need Jesus. They need to see us living out Christ to one another and to those around us. Ephesians 2. Verses 8 to 10 say this: God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. We are God's masterpiece. Boy, it doesn't feel like it sometimes. He created us anew in Christ, though, so we can do good things that he planned long ago. So it is about embracing our community. It's a Brad, if you could, yeah. It's about having meaningful relationships with people within our group and outside of our group. And I know, as I listen to Carby, I know others of you will have experienced that as well as I have, at times, at hard times, at times of grief, of the church family pulling around you and helping you in that journey. We all face it at some point or other, and this church family demonstrates God's love by stepping up and supporting us in that time. It's about not just practical from the point of view of physical things. It's about realizing that the message we have in the gospel is so important to the people around us. It's about sharing that gospel message in a relevant way, showing we care for people by telling them we believe there is eternal destiny and that God created you, God loves you, and God wants to redeem and forgive you. It's a time where we can, and we can show that in many ways. We've had practical ministries, you know, food to people who are sick and all sorts of practical ministries. It's one, but there's one that we, as we've grown as a church, have really grasped the hold of. And it's one that brings joy to my heart, is that we have grown as a praying church. We have grown in our prayer, our commitment to prayer for one another and for our community. Now, in our services, we often have a communal prayer, community prayer. Today, we're going to do it slightly differently. I would suggest that perhaps if you could turn to the people around you, we're just going to take 2 minutes. 2 minutes to people around you and just pray for our community. Pray for somebody you know that has a need right now. Whether they're in our church family, in our wider extended family, in our community. Okay? Whether it be somebody's health. We've been praying for Amy, and it's lovely to have you with us today, Amy and Gavin. We've been praying for you, and if you want to pray for them, please pray for them. If you want to pray for those who are looking for employment in our group at the moment, please pray for them. Kids have got exams coming up. Pray for them and their exams. So just take 2 minutes and pray, turn around, someone near you, just pray, and then I'll call you back. Okay? Thank you. I really hate to do this. If we wrap, if I just call you back to together again as a church family, man. As an elder sitting up here watching that, you as a church congregation getting together and praying that it brings joy to my heart. And I know we do it in small groups, and we do it here at church, and it's exciting. I really give thanks to God for that. As we talk about embracing our community, there's a couple of people who I want to invite to come up now. Chris, if you could come up and just... I've talked far too long, Chris, so I'm going to cut you short. But if you could just... No.
Do you want me to say anything at all?
Thanks, Chris. It's been great to have you. If you does, yeah. Yeah, no. Can you? We're talking about embracing our community in love. Okay. If you can share a story of where you've seen that, you've been involved in that as a church family.
Sure. Okay. So, as some of you are or may be aware, my kids go to Discovery School, and as a parent, I've kind of volunteered there when I can. It's not that I volunteer there out of my role here, but I volunteer as out of my parent and out of my heart, and just to see what we can do. But I guess I've been always looking for opportunities where we can shine that light a bit more. And 2 years ago, they had the death of a 5-year-old or 6-year-old boy. there. And that rocked the school community. And I got a phone call one day that said, do you think we could have a teapot? And I went, yeah, sure. Put the phone down. Oh, I get so emotional. and then it really was the Holy Spirit prompting me, was to like, man, we can do more than a teapot. So, and as Daryl says, my way of not entering through the door but breaking it down, without asking anyone, I just rang back and I said, hey, there must be more that we can do than a teapot. And that request for a teapot turned into a real outpouring from this church. Not only was there a teapot, but there was all our cups, both our white ones and our plastic ones. There was food being made. There was all our chairs being transported down because they just simply did not have enough room. And the chairs ended up staying for the school production because unfortunately, or fortunately, the school production was on the next week and they had to dismantle everything to have the funeral and then put it straight back up again. There were people who gave up the whole day to serve in the community. We had to follow some traditions that were not normal, not known to me. And so there was a lot of waiting around. We weren't allowed into rooms or to be in certain places until the family returned. And, you know, as funerals go, these things take longer. So we had, you know, we had anyone who could spare some time was there. It was a really long day. We were able to, from the generosity of other people and people in the school community, to actually serve the teachers lunch for the rest of that week, with the food that was provided and the food that was left over. And I think, without a shadow of a doubt, Discovery School saw that the Anchor Church had a place in this community. And we had been praying for a long time for a door to be opened. And, yeah, that door was not only opened, but ripped off its hinges. And from then, we've now been able to give the transition books to the Year 8s. And this year they are keen for us to bring the college kids back again and to have longer and to spend more time. They're just keen. They're keen for us to do stuff and they definitely value.
And this is a school that didn't want to have anything to do with
it. No, in fact they had had 24/7 in there and 24/7 had been removed forcibly and asked to leave and said, we don't need the church, we don't need Christianity, we don't need God in this school.
Hmm.
And things are changing.
Mm. We've been talking before, Chris, while you're down with our kids.
Oh, yeah.
And thank you for what you do down with our kids, but about giants, facing giants, and that was a giant that we couldn't get in.
Yeah, no, there. And we had tried. Mm. And you know, I'm not very good at sitting and waiting for things to happen. Don't laugh. I just want to go and do, and I've learned that I have to sit and I have to wait. And I have to pray, and I have to, you know, really let God lead me. And I just wanted to say that it wasn't me doing this in my role as a staff member, that you guys can actually have a big impact, especially your parents. You know, it's amazing what schools will actually allow you to do once you've built that relationship. But we have to walk the journey with them first, and then God is faithful.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay.
I'm going back to the chaos.
Yep. The chaos. Come back, Brett. Later. Okay. So stepping up is really it's to be a welcoming church, one that's not fearful of inviting our friends, one that's equipped and willing to share the gospel, to be the hands and feet of Christ in our community. Has it happened? Yes, we've heard examples. Could we do more? Absolutely. Do we want to do more? Absolutely. Come along next week and hear about that side. Okay, so finally, stepping out. The stepping out is about being ready to serve. It's about leading. It's about going. It's about individually going out and as a church going out into our community. And we've talked about that and really we've seen lots of different examples of this. Going to the ends of the earth. You know, as a church family just earlier this year where we commissioned Polly to go and serve in Bangladesh, and she ended up in Cuskers, it's done. You see, God has it all planned. We didn't know, but she was willing. We were willing. We sent her, and she is where God wants her to be. So keep praying for Polly. But that's exciting as a church to have people going out literally to the other side of the world. But we have people for ourselves going to the other side of the world might just be stepping onto our neighbour's property and inviting them, showing love to them. And so it's about us as a church doing that. We've started. We do that. Next week, we're going to talk about how we can do more of that. I guess I'd like to just have a couple more, just ask a couple more people. Andrew, would you come up? Andrew and Sue, do you want to come up, Sue? You got, yep. Andrew and Sue have another perspective. So Alistair was here early on, and I came along involved with the youth group and was there for a while. And then this move was talked about and started, and then Andrew and Sue turned up. You can... So Andrew, just tell us what happened. How did you end up being at Acheron Road and what from there?
Kind of against my will, really. I just have to ask Sue what year we got married. It's inside my wedding ring, but my eyesight isn't as good as it used to be. Anyway, the year, 96. Yeah. I got asked, I was attending another church and got a phone call to come and do some Sunday morning teaching in 1996. And they were two sets of 2 weeks in a row. And I arrived there on the first week, and there were sort of five families. And honestly, I thought, I don't know whether to admire these people. This was at Acheron Road. I don't know whether to admire these people or tell them to shut up shop and go home and disperse. You know, where else were? Then the next week came along, and sort of similar thought. Not sure whether I'm going to admire these people or say, anyway. Then the third week, I had a sort of couple of months, and then I was back. Sort of similar thoughts, dare I say it, if I'm honest, the third one. Then the fourth one, I think it was Alistair, I can't remember whom, but somebody got up and said, we're on the move, we're going. And they had the plans, I still remember the plans sitting on the table in the back, and they explained the reasons. That was where the kids' work was, and they wanted to be where that was. And I thought, oh, this is quite exciting. And over the next few weeks, I was kind of fighting it. I don't really want to be involved there, because Sue and I were looking for a church because we were engaged, and the world was our oyster kind of thing. Thought, don't think so, Acheron Road. But it was that change of heart, which was quite amazing. And so, what I can say to you is, if you that whole stepping out thing, if you feel the prompting of God, or you within the church to do something or whatever, check it out. Don't fight it. No, I'm not going to be involved with those fellas. But no. Grasp hold of it and take it, and you see God is a faithful God for protection. You know, I was up on that, I won't take too much time, but I was, when this part wasn't built, when we were, anyway, we came along, and I was up in this area up here when there was only framing, and I was looking down, and I saw my car rolling down the hill. Unfortunately, there was a elderly lady in her electric wheelchair on the footpath across the road, right in line where my car, the handbrake, wasn't a bit dodgy, and it was rolling towards her. She was looking down the road, and it was, Steve Austin, slow motion. Right, I was right up there running cables, climbing down, and the car rolled down the hill, and it was heading straight for her. Dead, steering lock, straight for her. But, dunno, God, that's all I can say. It slowed up and rested its front wheel on the footpath inches from her wheelchair. Inches. And she was looking round, and she just got her electric wheelchair, turned around, went up the hill. None the wiser. None the wiser, I got in, put it in reverse, climbed back up. But there was, you know, protection from God. I remember praying. I'll be quiet soon and pass over to see. I remember praying. You know, we came here and there were not many families, and people would come. You know, we had the goods, if you like, but there was just not enough people. You know, you get to a certain threshold and people stick around, but no one would stick around. I remember praying, Lord, just, hey, get some people to stick around. That'd be cool. And we reached that kind of threshold, and people did. And I remember, you know, in God's timing, praise God for that. I remember praying for musicians. You know, we were lacking in musicians and singers. And just praying, Lord, oh, how cool. But, you know, he answers those prayers more than I, you know, one of my favorite verses that's just escaped me, it's found God can do immeasurably more than all we ask or can anticipate. Praying for musicians. And last Sunday night, you know, I walked in the door for night church just a little bit early. And there was Dan and Ryan and Ella on the stage. And not only had God provided musicians, you know, and I shed a tear as I walk in the door, you know, all those years ago praying, thinking, man, not only has God provided musicians, but he took the time out to actually save them, to you know, draw them into his family through our church. But not only that, there was Ella on the stage. He had saved these guys and had given them a real heart to bring on others in the church. You know, immeasurably more than all we can ask or anticipate and things. So anyway, so what I say, stepping out, if you have that prompting or that peace or that, don't fight it. Carry on and God will do amazing things. Yeah. Sue.
And that verse he's been talking about is Ephesians 3, verse 20. So just in case. Last weekend I was at a little rural country church and they were celebrating All Saints Day and they were just remembering the faithful people from the past. And it's been going through my mind too with this week, the faithful people, the people that were before us that faithfully prayed and had a vision to move here. Mm. And they put aside their extra money so that this could happen. And I remember, it's all about faith. Andrew had heard about this little church. I didn't know where Mana was. It was probably at the ends of the earth as far as I knew. And our first Sunday here, we sat behind a family with three boys. And I thought, oh, great. But they were actually farewelling, those family of three boys. But that same day, there was a baby born, Viv's youngest, Gareth. And it's all about faith. And God has brought many people into this church, and that's something that we can be really thankful for. But for me, it's looking back, I remember the faithful people that led the women's ministry, Linda and Ruth, and the Sunday school, those teachers, the rally work with Kathy and Lawrence and others, and you can just really see the way that God has worked through many people in this church. And I'll just never forget when, I know they're not here today, but when Kathy and Lawrence became Christians, Kathy first, then Lawrence, it was just like God was saying it's all about having faith. He will bring people to this church and many people will come to know God. So for us, we're just really thankful that God directed our paths. We had put an offer on a house in another area that we missed out on, and then we ended up getting a house on the other side of the water, and God just directed us here, and we're just thankful that we've been able to be part of that journey. Mm.
Cool. Thanks, guys. Thanks, Steve. It's great. Thanks. Acts 1, verse 8. I'm going to ask Brad to come and just share. Brad, we're really running tight, so keep it short. 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And one of the ends of the earth for us has been Aotea College. And so Brad has been on that journey for a while in Aotea, if you want to share very quickly.
Cool. So one of the big reasons I chose to come and work, or felt God leading me to work here 8 years ago, was the church's call to be out in the community and in the high school. I was actually more nervous about doing the work at church than I was at the high school, because that's what I was doing before I came here. And so over the years, we've done tons of stuff in the school. Like, just, we've been gardeners and janitors, and I got told off for not wearing uniform in my first year at Aotea College, even though I was 22. So we've done lots of things, and we've endured. And sometimes going to Aotea, even though I came to the church because of the involvement there, there were some days where it was the last place I wanted to be, because I was an outsider and I felt really awkward. But we've endured and we've prayed, and we're part of the furniture now. Now I can walk there and kids know me, staff know me. But what more so than that, than whatever I've done and stuff like that, is to see the growth in our young people in that place. And this story is not mine, it's actually Nicole and Jess's. There's a picture, maybe a slide or two ago, of a young man getting baptized. Aiden. I coached Aiden in football, so one of the things I did was coaching Aiden and stuff, and others in football. But about, 3 years ago now, a group of us sat, it was a new group of leaders, Elijah, Jordan, Nicole and Jess, and we went, we need to start inviting people along to what we do. If we really believe that what we do at Anchor Youth has value, if people need to know Jesus, we're not good at inviting people and getting them along. So Elijah decided if we invite new people along, they get to egg us on the head, and youth group doubled. But ages and ages ago, so Aiden came for like a whole year. Elijah would talk to him all the time, and he had no interest in God, and eventually he started to want to know stuff. And we baptized him last year before he went to Australia, and he now goes to church in Australia in Melbourne. But I asked Aiden how he came along. So I'd known him, maybe in passing invited him into stuff like that, but he said the thing that got him along to church was Nicole sitting next to him in class and saying, "You need to come to my youth group." There wasn't an ask, it was a "you need to." But apparently, like, when we'd started that term, they just went, you probably know better than I do, Jess, but any person who sat next to them got asked. Whether they knew them, they weren't friends with Aiden, they knew Aiden, they weren't friends with him particularly, like good mates or anything. They just started asking and telling. And and Aiden came to faith and is now one of the numbers amongst us because someone sat next to him and said, "You need to come to church."
Thanks, Brad. It's really cool. And that youth, that's right, the youth really have been a big part here. Big part in reaching and doing this, stepping out. They really have stepped out. So it's really exciting. It's like, wow, God has done so many amazing things. Hasn't he?
Yes.
Has he? I'm not sure. Yes, he has. And so next week, this week has been about looking back and reminding ourselves. Next week, it's the road ahead. It's not about staying stuck here and saying, "Yay, we've made it," and sitting. It's about saying, "God has brought us this far by his grace, and he will lead us on. What does the road ahead look like?" Come next week with a heart ready to hear what we see is what God wants us to do going forward. More of this, stepping in, stepping up, and stepping out. We serve a great God, a risen Saviour, triumphant, who has gained a victory over sin, death, and the grave for us. And he has given us the opportunity to serve him. And next week we're going to talk about that more. Thank you so much for your participation. I'm sorry, Carl, I've cut your stuff short. We're going to come and celebrate communion. And communion, you know, when I was growing up, sometimes you'd think it was like being at a funeral service. It is a great celebration. It is a great celebration of what God has done. Carl's just going to lead us into it. Thank you all so much for your part in today's service.
Thanks, Bruce.
Yeah, so this morning we've been, as you're all aware, we've been looking back at what God has been doing in people's lives here at the Yank.